Good morning. It's good to be with you this morning as we open up God's Word and as we take a look at God's Word. I want to look at, first of all, Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4. Over the summertime, and here into the fall, I've been doing a number of messages on the topic of spiritual formation. And it's been an interesting topic because there's a lot of aspects of spiritual formation. You might think, what is spiritual formation? And so we could even do a whole message on that, but that's not what I'm going to speak on. But spiritual formation is when because a lot of people can take spiritual formation and they can say spiritual formation is something that is pertaining to my way of thinking or my faith. And so what I want to talk about is the main subject is biblical spiritual formation. Biblical spiritual formation. And so that's the perspective of how God sees us. And so the fact that spiritual formation is something that many people can say from a variety of religions and say, oh, I've got that in my life. I've got that going on. And because they have been formed by some sort of tradition or some sort of thinking, and it could be anything from a religion like or a faith that people would have, and they might say that I'm a Buddhist and that's my spiritual formation, or I believe in this particular, I'm a Mormon or I'm a Jehovah's Witness, and the list goes on. But what I want to look at is that there are a number of different aspects, and that's what has surprised me, because often when we think of spiritual formation, we think of certain things that will guide you towards faith in Christ, but then also spiritual disciplines that accompany that. In the second message today, probably we'll talk about some of those things. But I would like to take a look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, and I've been meditating on this in the light of spiritual formation. So from that perspective that we're coming from, and that is when we allow God to form us, when we allow God's word to guide us, when we allow God's word to take us into a deeper understanding of his person and his character. That's when we truly can appreciate what spiritual formation is. Now, Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16 is a beautiful verse. It's culminating this chapter, or it's actually in the middle of the understanding of the Lord Jesus Christ as being the great high priest. And it says there, let's start for sake of connection, verse 14. Since then we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus the Son of God. Let us hold fast our confession. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. May God bless his word. As we think about these verses, first of all, I want to help us understand much more deeply that we have something very special when we have a faith in God. It doesn't mean that we're set apart and better than the rest of humanity. One of the things that I appreciated about the breaking of bread was the fact that there's a recognition that we are not worthy of the salvation that God gives us. We're not. We've all transgressed God's law. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Yet by his marvelous and wonderful grace, we've been bought with the price. And that price was the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ upon the cross. Gave his life so that we could have life in him, forgiveness in him, and also a hope for eternity. But as we grow in our faith, it helps us understand that we can grow in our understanding and in our confidence in the very presence of God. And that's what verse 16 really brings us to understand. It says, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Now, why can we say that we can come into his presence with confidence? Why can the beleaguered, the Christian that is struggling, can come into the very throne of grace with confidence? How come we can do that? It's like a child who comes to a parent in a difficult situation and comes and knows that there is, generally speaking, there is confidence for that child to go into the very presence of the one who loves them, the one who cares for them. And so ultimately, we are protected by the very nature and the goodness of God. And so spiritually, we might walk around in a world that has dangers all around us, so to speak. Every time you drive your car out on that road, you're taking somewhat your life into your hands, right? Accidents happen all the time. We get up on a plane, get in a plane, same thing. Everything, life is like that. There are things that are possibly can happen to any one of us. Now, I don't want to scare you. I don't want you to get all worried as you go out. But what I'm saying is that we sometimes have those fears. But God in his goodness shows us through his word that from a very spiritual point of view, a perspective of spiritual protection, we find ourselves confident in his presence. I want to ask you, are you confident in the presence of God? Now, let's take a look at some verses in Psalm 91. Psalm 91. As most preachers, what I often find is I'll begin in one verse, and then I'll come across something else and go, well, that sure pertains to that. And so it's almost like putting a puzzle together. And that's the wonder of the Word of God, is that it always fits together. It always brings you back to certain points and always edifies you and brings you up and lifts you to that point of worship to the Lord and Savior that died for us. Psalm 91, it begins in verses 1 and 2 and says the following: he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Now, there are four names of God that come out in these first two verses. They're beautiful names. They're names that describe the Lord himself. And in the ancient Hebrew language, which I don't know, but from what I understand, there are four different ways that God is described here. The first one, it's the Most High. He who dwells in the shelter of the Most High. Now that is Elyon in the Hebrew language, the Most High. The second one is it talks about will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. That's El Shaddai, the Almighty. The third one is found in verse 2. The writer says, I will say to the Lord. I will say to the Lord. That's Yahweh. And then finally, in verse 2, the writer says, my refuge and my fortress, my God, and that is Elohim, my God in whom I trust. Now, what it is the writer of the psalm, and commonly thought of that it was Moses, that wrote this psalm. And as they were in the wilderness, as they were beginning their, had been given all the plans for the tabernacle, as they were going to go in and begin to worship the Lord in this particular venue that would move from place to place as they wandered in the desert, what Moses is writing here, and he's trying to help the people understand, is that this is the foundation of their faith. The foundation of their faith. Who is God? He's the Most High. He's the Almighty. He is the Lord, and He is God. He was Elyon, El Shaddai, Yahweh, Elohim. He was all those things to them. And it sets the foundation for them as a people. As a people. Now, they knew who God was, but as Moses articulates it, as he writes down, he says this, and he wants them to understand the depth of the love and the protection of God. Because what he says, the person who dwells in the shelter of the Most High, the person who abides in the shadow of the Almighty. When we think of the word abide, what do we think of? My thoughts often go to John 15, the Lord Jesus Christ. He says, you are the vine, I'm the vine, you are the branches. And he speaks about the fact that as we abide in him and he protects us, he allows us, he nurtures us, he takes us, and he helps us to grow and understand and be nurtured. When we dwell in the shadow of the Almighty or in the shelter of the Most High, abide in the shadow of the Almighty, there is a response that should come out of the heart of the believer. And he says, my refuge and my fortress. My refuge and my fortress. It's not something that is just personal, but it's also corporate for ourselves. But as the writer writes here in Psalm 91, he makes it personal. But then he goes on in verse 3 and makes it clear that what God will do, that he will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and the deadly pestilence. What he does is that God is a God of protection. So one of the things that we can enjoy as God takes us through the processes of life, and takes us through the process of sanctification in our lives, one of the things that we can do is we can understand that he will always be there to protect us. Always be there to protect us. One of the things that I enjoyed about Hebrews chapter 4, if we could just keep your finger in Psalm 91, but going back to Hebrews chapter 4, it says there that, it says, Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace. Now, there's some things that we can find there at the throne of grace. Very clearly, it says that we may receive mercy. That we may receive mercy. What is it to receive mercy? Well, I think every one of us have probably had a situation where we've had a received mercy from any given situation. Maybe it's been a parent, or maybe it's been a situation where we have needed mercy. It's mercy is when you're stopped by a police officer, and you're stopped by the side of the road, and that police officer comes up and says, "Today I'm going to give you a warning." And you go, "Whew, that's good, because I don't want to pay that fine." That's mercy. He's extending that. He says, "You deserve this." And then it says there, as well in the second part, it says, "And find grace to help in time of need." I don't know my audience completely in your lives or anything like that. I know many of you. But maybe you are someone who is wondering where God is at times within the context of your life. Just want to encourage you that you can enter into his presence any place, any time, and find grace and help in time of need. Now, going back to Psalm 91, understand that God in his kindness desires to show us his protection. "My God, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust." One of the things that we see as we go later on in verse 4, he says, "I will cover you with his pinions." He will cover you with his pinions. "And under his wings you will find refuge. His faithfulness is a shield and a buckler." What does that remind you of? It reminds me of that grand entrance as the Lord Jesus Christ went into Jerusalem a week before he was crucified. And he wept as he looked at Jerusalem. And he wished that they had been a people that would have desired to be covered under the feathers. Right? He says, "Oh, Jerusalem." You know, it's a marvelous thing when the very God of heaven sends his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, and he speaks to our hearts through the ancient scriptures, and he says, "I protected you then, and I will protect you now. And I will protect you in the future." One of the things that I have found difficult in the last little bit is that on August 31st of this year, with my wife, we drove out to Trinity Western University. And there we dropped off our youngest, happens to be my daughter, my only daughter. And we dropped her off at the university, and we unloaded the car, and we took all her things, and we put them into her to her room, and we were saddened, you know. We were happy for her. She's going to university. She's got all these friends, and she's having a great time, and she's even taken a class with her with our other son, with her brother, and they're, you know, I'm not sure if they're cheating off each other. I sure hope not, but they are taking classes together, and she's. But for my wife and myself, it was like we're driving home and look over my wife and says, "How are you dealing with this?" Well, I didn't have to say anything more. She started weeping. Now why? We miss her. But I put it down to one thing, and from a father's perspective, is that she's gone out into the big, wide world, and I cannot protect her. difficult. And I realized that as we released her, that all the formation that we had given her for the previous 18 years now was going to need to take effect. And she's going to have to draw on the guidance of God. She's in a very good environment at Trinity Western University, since it's a Christian-based university. And not all the people there are Christians, that are the students that are there Christians, but there is that influence, so we're grateful for that. But still, why? Because my wife and myself, I got up one morning because, and I'd forgotten that she'd gone off to university. I opened her door to wake her up and realized she was not there. A room's empty. Now, where do I find my sustenance? I go to the throne of grace with confidence. And I say, Lord, he who dwells in the shelter of the Most High will abide in the shadow of the Almighty. I will say to the Lord, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. When you cannot control a situation, we can go to God. And that's the marvelous part about being a believer, is that you and I have this confidence that we can go into the very presence of God wherever we are, whatever we're doing. I have my oldest son, who's graduated from university. He wants to be a police officer. Well, that'll keep me on my knees for the next, he wants to be a police officer. So what he's doing is that he's got his job, and then once a week he takes a shift as a guard at the New Westminster Jail. Oh my goodness, I'm on my knees all the time. I'm praying because I can go with confidence into the very presence of God and say, I know that you are our protector, you are our shield. And have you looked and seen how often in the scriptures God brings us confidence and he brings us security and he brings us protection? And he doesn't give you a physical key. He doesn't give you a safety deposit box and say, here, put all your prayers in here and I'll protect you. No, he says, approach the throne of grace. And you will find help in time of need. He'll deliver you. He'll cover you. Verse 5 says that you will not fear the terror of the night, nor the arrow that flies by day. It's amazing the fruit of faith that comes out of these particular verses. In between verses 4 to 10 and also in verse 13, he says, you will tread on the lion and the adder, the young lion and the serpent you will trample underfoot. Verse 7 says, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but it will not come near you. You will only look with your eyes and see the recompense of the wicked. Because you have made the Lord your dwelling place, the Most High, who is my refuge. No evil shall be allowed to befall you. No plague come near your tent. You know, when Moses wrote these words, he knew what God could do. And as he writes, he encourages us, trust God. He went through all those experiences himself. He saw the hand of God, and he will continue to see the hand of God, and we continue to see the hand of God. You know, in verses 11 and 12, the devil used actually these words against the Lord Jesus Christ when he took him and tempted him for 40 days, 40 nights. He says, He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. He used those words for the Lord Jesus. He said, look, this is what the scripture says. And what did the Lord Jesus, he answered him. He answered him with scripture itself and said, God will protect me, and he will give me, and he will allow me to continue. You know, the same promises that we have in Christ are because he has paved the way so that you and I could be confident in the very presence of the living God. I hope that you've been encouraged to approach with more confidence. If you have been maybe fearful of going, you know, God loves it when we go into his presence and we pour out our hearts and we ask him to help us and we ask him to protect us and we ask him to guide our lives. Some of you have children and you are concerned. And I understand that you are concerned about the influences of life and school and the curriculum and all those things. And I can share those concerns with you. But be rest assured, if you trust God, you can go into his presence with confidence. And you can find it there. And you receive mercy. Sometimes when we go astray and we don't do the right thing or we don't say the right thing, and we can find grace to help us in a time of need. Daily you can do that. And you know, this secret that Moses knew and understood is that he had gone through all that. And all the fathers a faith that we can see in the scriptures and those heroes of faith that truly understood, it's because they were confident in God. And that's what you and I can be, confident in God. So may God bless his word and may he bless you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the word of God. Thank you that we've just scratched the surface here of Psalm 91, of even Hebrews 4:16. We know that you are here with us, and the word of God supports that and supports the confidence that we can have in the word of God and in the finished work of Christ. Thank you that you've saved us, that you've redeemed us. But Lord, we need to grow and to mature in our faith. Lord, help us not just to have little spurts of growth, but to really see maturity in our lives, Lord. We need it so that we can with confidence go in to your very presence and know that we will be protected and know that our children will be protected as we pray for them, as we lift them up, as our loved ones and those who we're trying to see saved, Lord, that we would be able to approach you with confidence. Bless us now as we go downstairs and enjoy the refreshment. And we ask that you would be with us in Jesus' precious name. Amen.